listening to Swimming World Radio. I'm your host, Brent Rutemeller, and today we're talking with Dara Torres, a twice-retired, four-time Olympic swimmer dating back to the 1984, 88, and the 92 Olympic Games, and then again in 2000. She is now back on track with her sights set on the 2008 team after setting the American record recently in the sprint 50-meter freestyle. The whole world is taking notice of this 40-year-old mother from Coral Springs, Florida, whose recent accomplishments as an extraordinary athlete are unprecedented in the annals of time. Thanks for joining us today, Dara.
Thanks, Brent. I'm glad to be joining you.
Well, it must be bedtime for your 16-month-old daughter, Tessa.
Yeah, just put her down and get a little quiet time now to sort of just relax and read the paper and watch some of my TV shows.
Well, that's good. Well, you know, Dara, no female American swimmer has moved faster through the water in the 50-meter freestyler than you. You know, the last person to hold the record was a 33-year-old named Dara Torres. What a coincidence.
Yeah.
What were people saying when you first broke the record at age 14?
Well, you know, it wasn't really noticed. I mean, I broke it over in Europe, and it was Jill Sterkel's old record, and the 50 wasn't an Olympic event, so it wasn't a huge deal back then. In fact, the 50 didn't even become an Olympic event until 1988, and this was back in, I think, 83. So it really wasn't that big a deal. I just remember after I got back from Europe, I went to school, and there was like a little blurb in the paper, and the headmaster at my school put it up on the bulletin board or whatever. But other than that, it really wasn't a big deal.
You know, in track and field, the 50... the 50-meter sprint is considered, you know, the fastest person in the world. Mm-hmm. Was there talk of that at that time?
Well, yeah, because even though it wasn't known as a world record, it was the world best. So I had both the American record and the world's best time. So, I guess that's what it was considered back then.
So then all of a sudden at age 33, you broke the record. What was the talk then?
You know what? It wasn't a lot of talk then either, because it was at the Olympic Games, and I actually got third. So everyone was talking about Inga de Bron and Therese Alsamar, and, you know, it was like, oh, yeah, you know, Bron's been off Dara Torres. Oh, and she also broke the American record. So it wasn't really a big deal back then either. So, it's been kind of like a nonchalant event for me as far as it being recognized, which is okay with me. You know, I'd rather stay under the radar anyway.
Being a bronze medalist and having the American record in 2000, was that still in the back of your mind a little bit?
You know, I can't say it never was. I shouldn't say that, but you know, the 50 was always my event, and especially when I was a teenager. And then as I got a little older and my training kind of went up in yardage and dry land, I didn't have the speed that I had, and so when I sort of got it back again back in 2000, it was nice to know that I, you know, had that speed, because I just figured that as I got older, I lost my fast twitch muscle fibers. I didn't have my speed anymore, and I was just had to settle for the 100 and possibly even the 200. So when I got that back, it was such a great feeling, and even now to know that I'm going my fastest times, it's an incredible feeling.
So what are they saying now at age 40?
I think I'm actually getting recognized about it now, more so because of my age. I think if I was just, you know, a 25-year-old and broke the American record, I'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. But I think because of my age, people are making a little more of a deal out of it now. So, I think the biggest thing for me is not even so much like the swimmers coming up to me and saying, oh, you broke an American record, because I don't even really hear that much. It's more so people my age coming up and saying, God, that's great that you're doing what you love and can go out there and do it, and age isn't a factor. So that's more so what I hear.
Well, I guess when you were pregnant with Tessa, mm-hmm. At age 39, what motivated you to get back in the water?
I guess looking at celebrity magazines and seeing all the celebrities getting back into shape so quickly, and I was gaining weight pretty quick, and actually not quick at a certain point. I mean, at the beginning, no one could tell I was pregnant for the first 4 months, but then all of a sudden it just came on, and I ended up gaining about 36 pounds, and it was pretty much all in my belly, but I wanted to be one of those people who lost my weight quickly and got my body back into shape. I mean, I had no idea what my body was going to look like after I gave birth. I didn't know if I'd be wider or flabbier or what was going to happen. So it was all sort of a wait and see thing. But the reason I wanted to get in the water was to hopefully be able to lose my weight fast.
So here you are, you know, you know your body's changing, you're pregnant, but you really have a stay fit, healthy lifestyle and consciousness about you. So you decided to was it master swimming you got involved with?
Yes, I decided to get into master swimming with my boyfriend David, and we started going at 6 in the morning, and I'd just gotten over the, actually, I don't think I'd just gotten to the 3-month point, so I was still very, very tired.
Were you swimming Masters before that?
No, I'd never swum Masters before.
Okay.
So this is my first time swimming Masters, so we go to the pool at 6 a.m. the first week, and I'm like, what am I doing getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning? This is nuts. You know, I have all day free, and, you know, I was so tired. So I stopped going at, I mean, I go maybe once a week at 6, but I started going a little later, and the coach would either be there or leave me a workout, and I had a couple Masters swimmers who didn't like going early either and would come in and swim with me. So it was nice to be able to have them to train with.
And Dara, that road was never there for Masters, for swimmers to find their way back to USA Swimming Competition. It's only because of Masters had that availability. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I definitely would. I you know, I always in the past considered Masters the next step after you swim on the national level, you know, or any level, you know, in USS Swimming. So I didn't think of it as, you know, I never thought of it as, okay, I'll do this first and then go back into USS, you know. So it's now definitely a different path. You see Gary Hall Jr., you see other, you know, I think Anthony Irvin also swam it, and you see other people swimming in Masters and going back to USS.
Well, yeah, and it used to be you'd have to go back to a local club program and swim next to other kids. And,
right.
And how, if you rank that importance, having that social bonding with the people there, people your same age, was that really a key factor?
You know, I think one of the turning points for me is getting back into it competitively again. You know, I was going to the Masters meets, and you know, after I gave, like 3 weeks after I gave birth, and then 3 months after I gave birth, I went to Masters World Championships, and you know, I had so many Masters swimmers come up to me and say, "Oh, it'd be so great to see a 40-year-old in the Olympic Games." I'm like, "What?" You know, but there was so many of them that came up to me and sort of inspired me to do that. And then I swam there and swam pretty fast. I'm like, "Gosh, you know, maybe I still have it. Maybe I can do this at 41." So they're the ones who really kind of lit the fire under me.
What was it like going off that block, you know, at age 40? And I mean, just the whole explosion and entering the water, was it foreign to you, or did it come back right away?
No, it didn't come back right away. In fact, I was pretty slow off the blocks for a while, and you know, the first couple of meets I swam in on the USS scene were international meets, and they had, back when I swam, they didn't really have this except the Olympic Games, but they had your reaction times off the blocks, you know, and we were finding that my reaction times were a little bit slower than everyone else's, so we really started to work at reaction times off the block, off, you know, to work them in the weight room, and that would benefit working off the blocks, and I think it really, really helped me get off the blocks fast, and you know, I when I dive in and I'm feeling good, I feel like I don't really feel 40. I just feel like I'm one of the kids swimming.
Yeah, I talked to Bill Boomer a little bit, and he was talking about, you know, how swimmers are now being defined as sort of a cats and dogs, and we've trained athletes for a long time. This is the energy system, the anaerobic and the aerobic, and he's saying, you know, we really need to start looking at athletes as their nervous system.
That's what it's so funny you say that. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you just got me going. My strength and conditioning coach, I just got back into training again, and after a 2-week break after nationals, and he said to me, you know, we're going to do some base training, and all the training we were doing in the weight room, we worked your nervous system because that's what you work in the pool. So now we're going to do a little something else, get the base going, and then get back going to the nervous system. So I never even heard that before until he said that to me. I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
Well, it's
interesting you say that about Boomer.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating, and I think you're kind of a nice model to look at that whole training aspect of it, because you know, when you were at Indianapolis and you had the recall start, it was just a slightest click and you exploded to it.
I know.
And you got the block and you said I remember you walk over and you said to me, like, I'm cat-like, you know, I'm cat-like, and I don't know if that term was already in your head, but I think it's very indicative of the nervous system that was really working it, you know, for you.
Oh, it's so funny. I think it was too. I mean, like I said, not just doing when we do reaction jumps, we would do reaction push-ups, like off claps. Like we'd go down on a bench and then we hear the clap and we had to do a plyo push off the bench, you know. And so it wasn't just our legs that we were working everything, reaction. And I remember when I went in, I was like, oh geez, I hope someone else heard that, you know, because no, I didn't see or hear anyone else fall in, and I was like, oh my gosh. And so it was funny because I think it was Jack Barrow who came up to me afterwards. He's like, yeah, all his coaches were like, oh my gosh, he still has that reaction or something like that. So, you know, a lot of it had to do, I think, with, aside from you know, being a little bit gifted and having fast twitch muscle fibers, which I know get a little slower as you get older, but I think the work I did in the weight room, and also, you know, Michael Loberg helped me a lot on the blocks on my start, when my start was so bad, and he really took a lot of time to work on my start to get out quick off the block, and it's just so different than it was. But I think the nervous system weight training stuff really helped.
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, there are some beliefs out there that you still have to train the aerobic and anaerobic system, especially, you know, in your younger days. What type of training at Stanford? Was it really a whole different type of training than you are at now?
Yeah. I mean, we used to do test sets all the time, and we do test sets. We'd do, like, you know, 8 50s all out on 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes, and all out meaning you have to hold like 27s or whatever from a push, and then they're on 2.5 minutes, and then on the last one you go right into 2100s on 125 aerobic, you know, long course, and I'm like, oh, So I don't do any of that stuff anymore. And I used to go really fast on the aerobic sets with Michael, and he kept saying, no, keep it like aerobic too, you know. And I'm like, what? You know, I need to start working these. And he's like, no, you'll be fine. And I didn't think I did enough aerobic stuff to finish a race, and obviously I did. And so his approach is much different than any coach I've ever worked with. He really wants you to stay in a certain aerobic range when you're training, and it's definitely not as you know, hard as it was in my past, and I think it works to my benefit.
Well, and the base is there, and you can call on that base and then grow from that. So it's, well, it's certainly obvious, but let's just fast forward here. You know, we do have the Olympic trials coming, and in order to kind of, are you looking at the scenarios, if you were to make the team, there's a lot of combinations, you know, top two in the 50, top two in the 100, to make those individual races, and then you go six deep in the 100 to make the relay. What are you looking at?
The scenario I look at is being like a Gary Hall Jr., you know, just going and getting third through sixth in the 100, and hopefully being able to make the relay at night and swim in the finals in the relay, being a contributor there, and then, you know, place in the top two in the 50 is what I like to do. So really just, you know, I can't see myself swimming the 100 if I were to get, like, second behind Natalie or something like that. I can't see myself swimming the 100 and swimming the 50 and then swimming two relays also. You know, it's just, I don't think my body can handle that. So, I mean, that would be the scenario if I did get first or second in the 50 and first and second in the 100. You know, that would be two relays, swimming the 100 three times and swimming the 50 three times, and I just don't think I can do that. So my ideal scenario would be to get third through sixth in the 100 and get first or second in the 50.
Well, certainly it would be great to watch this all unfold, and your training is continuing. When's your next competition?
I think we're going to a meet in Berlin, the World Cup, I believe, in November is what Michael is looking at, and then hopefully Nationals. But we're not fully resting for either one of those meets, so it'll just be sort of a fun meet.
Well, you get your short-term goals, but, you know, in 10 years you can qualify for AARP, by the way.
Looking forward to that.
Well, thanks for taking the time to talk with us, Dara.
My pleasure, Brent. Thank you so much.
We really appreciate it, and I'm sure our listeners will enjoy this. So this is Brent Rutemeller with Swimming World Radio, reporting on swimming from around the world.